FS Insider, a premium edition of the Financial Sense News Hour. Today's host is Financial Sense Wealth Management President, Jim Poplava.
Well, last year, nearly 7,000 stores closed, nearly twice the amount that opened. And it's been called the retail apocalypse. Will it continue? Is it going to get better or worse things ahead for the retail sector? Joining us from Bloomberg is Matt Townsend. Matt, you wrote an article last November called Retail Apocalypse is Just Beginning. And you made reference, yes, there were 3,000 stores that opened up, but nearly 7,000 stores closed. Let's talk about why this trend is continuing, number one. And number two, why we're seeing this at a time consumer confidence is at a record level. Unemployment is the lowest we've seen in nearly decades. And the economy is picking up steam in terms of economic growth. Why is this happening given that background?
Well, the very simple answer is that there's just a lot of retailers, brick and mortar, you know, that have a lot of stores that haven't adapted to sort of changing consumer tastes and the way people like to shop, whether it's online or being able to order a product and pick it up in a store, things like that. And then on top of that, a lot of these retailers have pretty heavy debt loads. And that's really what drives a retailer or any company into bankruptcy, is they can't service their debt anymore. And that's what we were seeing beginnings of last year, and it is only accelerating into this year. I mean, we're basically seeing what we expected in the first 3 months.
Matt, how did these retailers all get levered up as they are today? Because one of the things that we are experiencing now, we're in the middle of a Fed rate raising cycle, and there's no indication they're going to stop raising rates. And what concerns me is if you take a look going forward over the next 3 to 5 years, is the amount of debt that needs to be rolled over. Previously, people could roll over their debt at low interest rates, and it kept a lot of these companies alive. What happens to these retailers as interest rates continue to climb and investors get more skittish when it comes to what's going on in, let's say, the retail sector?
That's right. I mean, you know, a lot of people have called some of these companies zombie companies, meaning that, you know, if it wasn't for the low rate environment, which made debt easier to roll over or service, they probably would have gone out of business several years ago. And as we see rates rise, you know, the expectation is that a lot of this debt won't be able to be serviced, that investors will, you know, either decide to not make that investment, or they'll try to get their money back in some way, like pushing the company into liquidation to try to get sort of a better return on their debt. So, yes, I mean, in very sort of big terms, there was this era of cheap money that kept a lot of companies alive, a lot in the retail sector, and now we're seeing money become more expensive. And as that happens, we expect more retailers and other companies, even in other sectors, to go bankrupt and potentially liquidate.
And we've seen the size of these bankruptcies with the most recent Toys R Us, which I want to get to in a minute. But in your article last year, you expected this pace of store closings to pick up in 2018 going forward. We are now done with the first quarter of the year. Are you still sticking by that? Do you see the pace picking up this year versus where we've been, let's say, in the last 12 months?
I mean, I don't have exact data on that yet, but basically, if you look at, you know, some of the bankruptcies we've seen or some of the news out there, you know, there definitely seems so far like there's more store closings. You know, Toys R Us is in the process of liquidating its entire U.S. fleet. It's almost 800 stores, big stores, you know, a lot of square footage. Bon-Ton, which is a sort of regional department store, they're closing a bunch of stores. Some mall-based retailers, companies like Claire's are closing stores. And even, you know, it's kind of spread beyond traditional retail into grocery stores, where we've seen a couple bankruptcy filings from grocery chains. As that industry becomes, you know, faces more pressure from the internet and competition. So it does feel like the store closings are accelerating. Don't have hard data yet on that, but we should get that soon.
Matt, why do you think this is hitting the apparel sector and department stores harder in home entertainment than other areas of retail? In your article, you talk about 2,500 apparel stores closing down, over 1,900 home entertainment, and, you know, footwear and department stores. Why those particular sectors? Is it because of online? It's easier to get this stuff online? Or why these stores and why apparel?
Yeah, online is a big part of it. So even the companies that do still have a lot of stores in the apparel sector, their growth, a lot of their growth is coming from their online part of their company. So you think about like Gap, for example, it's a retailer that struggled for a long time. Its online division is doing okay, still showing growth. So that just makes it harder to maintain the brick-and-mortar presence. And with apparel specifically, you know, more and more people are shifting their apparel purchases online. That's one category where you see, you know, much higher sort of percentage of sales coming from the web. You know, I think in some sort of analysts have it at like 30 or 35% and growing. And that's where all the growth is too. Other parts of the retail sector, you don't see as much penetration online. You know, one sector that I cover is home improvement, basically Home Depot and Lowe's. And their online sales are much lower as a percentage of the total. And that's because people still feel like they need to go to the stores to see some of those bigger ticket item purchases, or they just like to go to the stores and get help, and it's more of a service-driven experience. So not to say that, you know, they're at risk at some point, too, from online becoming a bigger part of the equation. And with electronics, you know, it's very easy to buy a TV online. You know, maybe people go to the store to look at them, but they end up making their purchase on the web. So that's a big problem there.
What about also a generational gap between retailers and, let's say, the millennials? In the article on Toys R Us, the CEO that was brought in to turn around the company thought he could make it more lively, a more entertainment experience. But what ended up happening, a lot of the people would take a look at the items and then they go to Walmart and Target and get it cheaper.
You know, this term experiential retail or experiences, it's easy to kind of say that and say, like, this is what we want to do, but it's an extremely hard level of execution to try to do that across, you know, 700, 800 stores. And the advantage of the internet is that, you know, you just got to get your website, one website correct and make that a really great experience versus depending on all these employees and all these stores to make an interesting experience for the shopper. And yes, you know, before this latest issues with Toys R Us, you know, you go back 10, 15 years, its problem was that it was being undercut on price by Walmart, mainly Walmart back then, that was using toys as a way to get people to come into the store. You sell a toy for, you know, maybe a loss, they call them loss leaders, just to get people in the store or to the website. And that was how they competed with Toys R Us, and that really hurt Toys R Us. And that kind of pushed Toys R Us towards a decline, you know, back a decade ago, and kind of was the beginning of where they ended up now, where it looks like the company is almost going to go away entirely.
Is there any segment of the retail sector that's going to be immune to this? You cited, you know, like Home Depot, Lowe's, where you have to go in there. You need to be in a store that size. You know, you're getting lumber cut and things like that. That's something you're not going to get done online. Outside of home improvement, do you see any sector within retail that is immune from this trend?
I really don't. I mean, there are some stores that do a better job of giving people a reason to go to the store. I mean, you know, makeup, for example, is kind of another service aspect to it where the shopper likes to go and to experience the makeup in person first, and maybe then they would just buy online when they replenish after that. But yeah, I don't think anyone's immune, and I think even like the Home Depot and Lowe's of the world, they realize this too, and they're trying to make their website and their sort of online experience as robust as possible and trying to connect the stores and the online experience as much as possible. So yeah, I don't think anything, any sort of retail category is immune to this. And, you know, there's just a lot of retail concepts that have been out there for a long time that feel very tired to consumers. And it's, you know, really just a matter of time before they face some sort of trouble with either being able to service their debt or just remain relevant. So, you know, some people call it an apocalypse, some people call it a sort of evolution, but it's definitely something that's going to touch everyone in the sector.
You know, one thing that really struck me is, you know, America has been called overstored with the growth of the suburbs. There's shopping centers, strip malls everywhere, giant shopping centers. One of the trends, in addition to store closing, is the downsizing of the stores themselves. It's beginning with Walmart as they maybe gravitate more to some online and delivery. Do you see this big box concept that sort of grew out of the 80s and 90s with these super stores from Petco to Staples to everything, the big box stores? Do you see that trend also continuing where the big box stores actually get smaller?
Yes, definitely. I mean, one of the issues with Toys R Us, their stores were just huge. And they were actually, you know, one of their strategies to try to survive before they filed for bankruptcy was to try to open smaller stores in more urban and, you know, city locations to try to get that customer. But I think everyone in the retail sector acknowledges that their stores are too big for the most part, and they need to make them smaller. And that if you're a retailer that is going to stick with big stores, you need to make it really easy to shop. You know, some of these big stores have apps or ways to use your phone to navigate the store. I mean, Home Depot, for example, you can go in there and type, you know, I need a 75-watt light bulb, and it'll tell you which row of the store to go to, and so you don't have to really go find an employee to help you. So those are the kinds of things that retailers are trying to do. If they're sticking with their big stores to make them easier to shop, and where retailers can, they're downsizing, or if they're opening new stores, they're making them smaller.
Matt, what does this imply for all these giant shopping centers that we've seen recently? You know, there was an article in one of the major financial publications talking about a shopping center that went under and they sold it to a junior college. So what was once a shopping center is now a junior college. What's going to happen to all this retail space, especially these giant malls?
Yeah, there is repurposing going on. You know, the industry likes to talk about that a lot, that a lot of this space will get repurposed for non-retail entities, college, medical, public works, you know, or like a recreation center for the local municipality. That is definitely happening. The question is just how much will that soak up the sort of empty space we see? The properties end up being cheap enough that maybe it makes sense for the local municipality to do that or for someone else to come in and repurpose it. But what's interesting too is like a lot of these, what we call enclosed malls, like the traditional mall that's closed with a department store, something like that, anchoring it. While those are going away and being repurposed, there still is a lot of somewhat new retail concepts being built that are open air and what they, you know, where people can walk around outside. In some cases, you even see like a closing mall and a new facility being built right next to it. So there still is, from the retail sort of real estate perspective, they see it, that there is demand for these shopping experiences, but just a lot different from what was built, you know, over the past several decades. So I guess the big takeaway is that the U.S., while it's overstored, a lot of people say there still is a lot of retail establishments being built, just not the traditional sort of enclosed mall.
That's happened here in terms of what you just referenced, a shopping center outdoors. They just redid it. They've added entertainment. They've added more upscale stores. They've added more restaurants. Is that sort of a glimpse of what the retail survivors are going to look like? In other words, it's going to be more, not just shopping, but it's going to be more about experience and being able to do things other than just shop.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's sort of the bullish perspective that some people have on the industry is that, you know, this is just an evolution. It's a painful one where you're going to see a lot of pain and store closings and people losing money, but that in the end, there'll be better experiences for shoppers. And the idea is that it's a place where you can go and spend several hours or half a day or maybe all day that's family friendly. So you can go to eat. There's something for the kids to do. Maybe there's movie theaters or bowling or, you know, some other kind of entertainment tied in with interesting shopping stores and, you know, outdoors and, you know, maybe there's places to sit outside and, you know, more of like a sort of Main Street type feel or something you would see traditionally maybe like in the West Coast in California that's outside and not enclosed.
You know, one of the concepts I read about in the future, and you're seeing this right now, you can buy, there's apps online where you can actually get yourself sized for a shirt and order it. So that's hitting the apparel line. But they're talking about stores in the future, Matt, where you walk in instead of merchandise on display, you walk up to a kiosk, you go through the kiosk and just swipe and you see things you like, you press a button, and then you go into a virtual dressing room where you can kind of look at this mirror and then the items that you picked are put on you from a virtual sense. Is that more of what we're going to see in the future? It seems like this would be something that would be a nice millennial experience.
It could be. You know, I just don't know if that's something that's going to happen at scale. I mean, maybe some retail experiences will be that way, like in a flagship store or something like that. But we'll see. I mean, that, you know, augmented reality or 3D or virtual reality is all very new technology. And no one's really shown that it's something that can go to scale right now and be widespread. So I think that remains to be seen. But yeah, that's talked about a lot, to sort of use these new technologies to improve the shopping experience. You know, I'm sort of doubtful at this point, but we'll see.
Is there any area that hasn't been Amazoned yet? I mean, you know, Amazon has moved into the grocery store business. Now they're going after healthcare. So, you know, possible problems for CVS and Walgreens. And is there anything that hasn't been Amazoned yet?
Amazon definitely has its toes in a bunch of different things, some more than others. You know, one sector that's sort of getting into now is office supplies. But for the most part, it's ignored that, especially selling to small businesses, which would be a concern for Staples or Office Depot. It hasn't done anything to disrupt car dealerships, for example, which is, you know, considered a part of retail. So, you know, there are a couple of places where it hasn't entered yet, but, you know, who knows, maybe it will. But yeah, I mean, Amazon is obviously a powerful force, and they've already shown that they can disrupt several different markets.
As we look at this, how long do you think this plays out? We know that in the next 3 to 5 years, there's almost $1 trillion of debt that's going to have to be rolled over. Some of this is in the retail sector, and that could bring about more bankruptcies. How long of a period do you think before this shakes out and we finally emerge with, you know, a new concept, whether it was the big stores like Kmart? You know, it started with Sears, then there was Kmart, then there was Walmart, and now there's Amazon. So how long do you think this plays out?
I think over the next 5 years, you're going to see significant change that where, you know, people's shopping habits will have shifted even more towards using their phones and the internet to buy things, and that there will be new retail concepts, you know, opening physical locations, but they'll be completely different than what we see right now. And, you know, there's just going to be a lot of pain, like I said, over the next 5 years with a lot of bankruptcies, a lot of what we talked about, you know, big malls being repurposed or at least trying to repurpose them. So I think, you know, there's a lot of change coming. So yeah, I give it about 5 years, roughly, till we can kind of look back and say, okay, well, there's been significant change in the landscape.
You know, it reminds me, Matt, when VCRs first came out, they thought that was going to be the end of movies. And of course, you know, movies changed. They went to bigger seats. They went to bigger screens. They went to 3D. So maybe out of this, we'll still have retail, but it's going to be a different experience and maybe a more delightful one.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, you know, one of the critiques that story we did last November has gotten is that, you know, people say, oh, you know, retail's not going away. People still want to go to stores. And, you know, basically the point of that story was that this is true. We're not saying that every retail store is going to disappear, but that there's some call it an evolution. I call it a very painful one. You know, retail apocalypse has been used. But the fact is that there's a lot of things that exist right now that will go away and probably should. And yes, the net result will be a better shopping experience that's more consumer friendly, more efficient, and maybe even more fun for the consumer. That could actually bring people back out into, you know, brick and mortar retail in a big way, because it would be such a fun and engaging thing to do. So yeah, I think that it could be a net positive for consumers.
Yeah, because even you've seen Walmart now, they're downsizing, they're coming up with apps, they're even doing home deliveries. So they're barking on Amazon's door and learning from it. So maybe in the end, we will get companies that survive and are a better experience. In terms of an investor, what does investors do? I mean, you've got the stocks, you've got Macy's, and you've got other retailers, you've got Nordstrom, still a public company, even though they tried to take it private and couldn't because the lenders wanted higher interest rates. So what do you do as an investor? Do you avoid the sector, or maybe it's getting to the point where it's cheap enough to pick up some shares?
Yeah, it's a tough call. I mean, it's all based on how you invest. You know, whenever there's, for every stock that's selling off, there's someone buying it, right? So people still see value in these retailers. You know, maybe some of the plays that they think the retailer might be acquired because, you know, the price has gotten so low, or maybe they believe in the management's sort of turnaround strategy and what they want to do with their online business and how they want to sort of manage their store base. So I think it's a mixed bag. I don't think you can just write off the industry. You know, when a stock falls a lot, you know, there's some investors that see value there. So I think there's a lot of investors that still see value in retail.
So given last year, when you wrote this article in November, there were up to almost 7,000 store closings. We know that a lot of this debt Matt, is going to have to be rolled over in the next 2 or 3 years. So it sounds like in your article, you called it the beginning. Where do you think we are in that cycle? We are now in the middle, or do you expect this to accelerate going forward?
Yeah, that's tough. I think, you know, we're in the beginning of it, but I still think it can accelerate. You know, one thing, like you mentioned earlier, this is a period of where the economy is growing, unemployment is low. So if we hit some sort of new cycle in the economy, either a sort of downturn or maybe a recession even, that will accelerate things drastically, because if people do less shopping during a recession, that's going to hurt struggling retailers more than other ones that aren't struggling. So it would just accelerate their downward spiral and make it even harder to pay off debt, and investor confidence goes away, and you know, you can just see the whole snowball rolling. So I think if there is a recession or some sort of downturn in the economy, I would expect this to accelerate from where it is now.
Well, we're going to have to keep our eyes on it. Well, Matt, great work in keeping us posted on this trend, and thanks for joining us on FS Insider. All the best, sir, and come back and talk to us again.
You bet. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Well, that concludes my interview with Matt Townsend, and something that we've been following, because there's almost $1 trillion of debt that's coming due in the next 3 to 5 years that's going to have to be rolled over. Now, in the previous 8 years, it was pretty easy for a lot of companies. I don't care if it was retailers or it was oil companies that were heavily levered. They could roll that debt over because interest rates were low. That environment is changing. And as Matt talked about, this could accelerate if the economy rolls over and goes into a recession. Whatever the outcome, the retail space is going to look much, much different 5 to 10 years from now, just as the movie theaters you walk in today look much different than those that were around 20 and 30 years ago. I'm Jim Poplava. Thanks for listening.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertised with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.